You know, I like to get messages that deal with all the ages. I've always been that way, because there was a pastor that I got saved under when I was just a kid growing up, and he spoke to adults so they could understand in grown-up language, but he also spoke to young people and kids so they could understand, and that's how I got saved. I understood what the man was saying, but I also saw the man's heart come out, and he just put it in front of everybody so we could see Jesus. And that's what I want to do this morning. The words that I have to share with you, the sermon message is, failure is the soil for seeds of rebirth. Anyone here fail at anything? My daughter's not here. She went. She had to go back home for something. But at Christmas time, thereabouts, one of the things that my daughter did for me is that she gave me a tomato plant in a little pot. I got pictures of it, this big. And I thought that was so good because, you know, she knows, like my dad and I used to always, when I was a kid growing up at our house, we used to always put a garden out every year and just had produce coming out of our ears. And we had my mother and dad canning fruit and stuff. And we had given baskets full of fruit and stuff that we had to produce to people at church. And it was just a great time in my life. But she remembered that. And but over the years, I just don't have the time. And so the first week went by, and I took a photo, and it got a little taller. And then the third week, it got a little taller. And then we had the rain and all the soot, and all the smoke. It started to change. And I tried everything that I could, that I had the time to do. If you look at the plant now, I have to throw it out. It died. But my memory is that my daughter gave me that plant. And it's a very thoughtful thing from heart to heart. And you know, that can happen sometimes with things that are given to us. And sometimes, you know, people walk into our lives and they're a blessing. And sometimes they have to leave. Sometimes there's a reason for their leaving. Sometimes there's not a reason why they have to leave, and they leave. But, you know, I think the thing that we're all, I look at that plant, I thought to myself, I'm a failure. I lost it, but I didn't lose it. I just didn't really have the time to apply what I learned from my dad to take care of that plant. I'll do it again, and I will grow another plant, and this time one of the plants that I grow I will give to my daughter. There's always a plan. You know? And it's in our failures that sometimes we can feel like we've just succumbed to ashes and we're just sitting there all burned up. And people are looking at us funny. And people are saying, they're talking about us. And if we have a business or if we're a pastor or if we've got a church or we're doing something, some kind of work that we're in or in school or something. Sometimes there's a season that comes along and you fail at something. Failing is part of life. I don't like failing. Nobody really likes failing. Talk to a sports person, they don't like to fail. Isn't that right, Katie? She looked up, yes. Yeah. Your kids, they don't like to fail, do you? My grandkids don't like to fail. My daughter and my son don't like to fail. I don't like to fail. Pastor Marianne for sure does not like to fail. But we do. And I think people, we often get worried about failing because we think that failure defines us. And I know we've heard this before. I've read it. I've heard it in sermons. I've sat down with myself and God. And really, failures that have no right, we have no right to allow a failure that we've gone through to define us. Because I didn't create myself. I didn't create myself in my image. God created everything about me in His image, and He did it all in love. And He did it with a plan that was not going to fail. What Satan wants us to do, and what we end up doing a lot of times in failure, is that we start introspect. or looking in the rear view mirror so long that we rehearse things from the past. And it's going to be just like that when we go forward. And that's not true. That's not true at all. So we have to look at these things, and those failures do not define us. But failure often, most times, recreates the person, recreates the people, recreates anything that has become a failure. And some of the greatest works that God ever does is when we lose, and it's when we fail. You know, when you become a Christian, we think we will never, ever, ever fail. Well, you're a liar, and you're listening to lies. The person who stands before you has failed and failed and failed and failed. But I have also gotten up and I've grown in the ashes of my failure again and again. And God has recreated every single time. He's recreated something brand new. Something of a facet in my life that I didn't know about. There was strengths in my life that I knew were buried there somewhere, but I never had a chance to let it happen. God causes, when we lose, when we fail at and we fall, God has, I put it this way, God has the raw materials or the seed. I like the word seed to recreate something new in us. That's why you need, when you fail, stick close to God. Stay close to God. When I say stay close to God, you're not going to go to heaven right now. We need you, and this world needs you. But look and stick with God. You'll find him in his word. If you seek him, you will find him with all of your heart. Not half-hearted. And look at when you fail, you get to a point that you become desperate, don't you? And out of desperateness in my own life, I have searched for God, and I found him. And he found me. He was there all the time. I just didn't realize it. In fact, let's take a look at a verse of scripture this morning, Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 through 12. And God says this. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." What thoughts are you thinking about yourself? Even if you've gone through failure, are you rehearsing them? He says, "Nor are your ways my ways." Well, the ways you went were the wrong ways. You went down a dead end. You went down a cul-de-sac, so you failed. But God never changes, and his ways are perfect. And it says, just go back to the last part. He says, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens, and this is so true, are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Man, that's a glimmer of hope to me. I don't know about you. Because you go through all thoughts, you think even what other people are thinking about situations and what they think about you, and you think, but it's all in here. But it doesn't even reach where God is. Thank God for that verse. The next verse says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's what we're talking about this morning. God gives us the raw materials. A seed is a raw material, in a sense. The seed, if you ever look, has anyone ever cut an almond seed open or another seed of some type? And when you crack the almond seed, at the tip of it, there's a little, it looks like a leaf inside. That's the life. All the rest of that nut is the food to take it to go through the stage being buried. And as time goes on, the life comes out of that little leafy-looking thing, and it starts going, comes out and starts going up to the surface where the light is. That's God's plan, life. It started in the soil, dead. It started with no life, inanimate. It started with no productivity except the life that just needed the elements to make it happen. Isn't God wonderful? The simplest things we miss every day. You know the thing I like about spending, when I used to love spending time with my dad, is because when I used to watch my dad, and he grew up on a farm when he was a kid, I used to watch my dad, and he was so enthusiastic. And I used to watch, we used to plant together, put the seeds in the mounds and the tomato plants here and all the different things that went on that we did, that he put in the ground. And I was looking at him and thinking, why is he so excited? Because he knew that shortly the seed would come to life and we'd have a full garden. Then there'd be harvest time. We couldn't see it at the beginning. We didn't have to go out there, and he taught me, you don't have to go out there and start digging up to see if the plants are coming alive. You don't do that with seeds. Once you plant it, you just leave it. Nobody can see it. What God does with you sometimes, after failure, he plants you back in to the ashes. You have his life. Now you're going to draw from the supplement that you're laying in. And you'll gain strength as time goes on. And the new seed that God has planted in you, just like the word said, my word is like a seed. It will start bringing forth life. And all of a sudden, where there was nothing at all, where people were walking over you, where things were not happening in your life that you so wanted to, the dreams and the aspirations that you had, even when you were a kid never happened, and things came to muck your life up, all of a sudden, the life seed that God planted in you as you stuck with him will begin to grow. Small at first. But then that seed starts coming up. And then you know that there's something going on first. You know first that there's something going on, don't you? I do. And nobody else knew what was happening inside me because they were looking at a failure. Pardon my roar. They were looking at a failure. But the seed of life that God put in me was the seed that grew. And then when I started to grow and realized it, then others started to grow and realize it. And I was made with a purpose. And the seed that God put in me was not just for me showing off what God did, but it was to bless his hands for the work that he was about to do through the seed that he planted in me. Through failure. Praise God. All of us here, many of us here, all of us really have gone through a failure, and there's areas of our lives that had to be created, recreated. And there's things that God, how many here know that God, through some of the failures you've gone through, has redefined your life? Can I just see your hands? What God does in you to recreate, he redefines you. It's not that the old you was now worth anything. It's worth something. It was of great value. But God also knows he's not dumb. He knows everything. He knows what life was going to throw at you and what life was going to throw at me. And he had it not point plan A and plan B and plan C. No, he had plan A, seed. For the ashes, seed for the failures, so that we can regenerate ourselves in this life and not give up and not quit and not become just a heap of ash and just lay there for the rest of our good years. Anyone want to do that? You're in the wrong church. You're in the wrong frame of mind. You know, it's okay to cry if you have to when you go through a circumstance. Or when you go through a failure experience, if people say, well, you shouldn't cry, you need to have resilience and you need to, you know, put your chin up and your shoulders back. Well, pardon my expression, I was going to say something, would have been the wrong word. Not true, man. Grown men, it was said this morning, grown men have cried. They would have never wanted to cry and show a drop of tear ever. Grown men have cried in their failure, and that's part of life. Women have cried. Kids and teenagers and adolescents have cried. Husband and wives have cried through failure. But God's not done. Just don't stay there feeling sorry for yourself. You know, ashes are, you know anything about ashes? Ashes, after they cool off, of course, they're soft. And it's a nice place to just snuggle in there and just stay there in the ash. It's comfortable while I cry. It's comfortable to stay there while I'm retrospecting and looking in my rearview mirror to rehearse all the things that I went through. And how nobody loved me, and how I failed, and how then you just go on and on and on. Well, there is a time for crying, but then there's a time for getting up and moving on. I tell you something, my wife and I won't mention any names, but there are, well, everybody in here, but there are a few people that we know in this auditorium right now that have been such a source of inspiration, because we saw them laying in ash, and after a short time, after crying, after grieving, get up from the ash and read and see God redefine himself in their lives. He doesn't stop. There's a time that you cry, and there's a time that you have to stop. I don't know if anyone remembers. You might remember Pastor Sue. Then there's others that might have been with us years and years ago. We had Pastor John Beard, who is Bill Beard's son, come. He was pastor of IGS, International Gospel Center up in Queensland. IGC. And anyway, he came down to preach at our church when we were at the school at Smith Hill, Smith School in Wollongong. And I never forget what he was saying. He was talking about some of the things that they were doing in the Philippines. And I think I shared the story maybe once or twice here over the years. And they used to go and take care of, like, do missions work over there short term. And also they built things over there for ongoing ministry. And one of the things that they used to do was go to the tip that's in Manila. The dump. Garbage dump that, if you've ever done any looking at it on YouTube, it's just so base and it's just decrepit. And it's so, I've never been there, but they said that the smell was enough to knock you out. And he took a lady with him one time. Her name was Judy. She was the first time on a missions trip to the Philippines. And they did a few things during the course of the week when they started out, but then they went to the tip, the dump, in the Philippines, in Manila. And when they got there, I mean, she could smell it from far away, but when she got there, she broke down and she cried, and she cried. And John said she kept on crying for 2 weeks, kept on crying. And he looked at her and he said, and I wrote that down, because it's an indelible mark on my life. He says, you know, it's one thing when you see humanity in its baseness and you cry, but you're not really doing anything for that baseness and humanity. He says that's when you begin to act to help. That makes the change. And when we lay in the ash of our failure, that's just what Satan wants us to do, is to keep on crying, to keep on not being able to be productive. And God made us to be, have dominion over the things of the earth, and also to have dominance over things and to keep things going on this earth the way he does it in heaven. And so she changed. And thank God that she changed. And it was a hallmark for her, not only for herself, but she was an asset to that ministry afterwards. God tells us to stop crying over our failures. Why? Because it won't do us any good. You can't go back and change your failures. Not to happen. It's already done. The ashes are already done. The damage is already done. But the rescuer is always with us. Praise God. And he'll cause anyone who'll call on his name and look at his face in the Word and draw out of desperation from his Word, no matter what the circumstances are, how bad they are, how desperate they are, how horrible they are, whether it's affecting you, your family, or things around you, or your business, or your work, or school, no matter what it is, God will be able to do good through you. Change comes and healing comes and rebirth comes when you begin not to look and rehearse and at your failures, but when you begin to boldly look again through God's Word and pick it up and act, not just read it, but act on it. You have to act on God's Word. That's the faith. That's faith, man. I've said it before. Faith works. And faith works has two legs. Faith works. When you use your feet, you can't. Can you walk? You walk like this? Faith. I've got faith, folks. I've got faith. Yes, I've got faith. No, God gave us two legs. Faith and works. Some people rely on the works too much. But you have to rely on both. You rely on both legs when you walk. Faith works. Until you get to the point that your faith works step by step until you can start running in faith and do great things for God. It's all a process. And even if we had a leg injured in our walk or broken, God will heal you and will cause you to walk and run again. They that wait upon the Lord. Are you waiting on the Lord this morning? Maybe you're going through something this morning. Do you need to wait on the Lord this morning? Praise God. Don't forget God's promises. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. Praise God. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. You know, Jesus said that in the New Testament because He's God. Jesus said to His disciples, and He reminds us today, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. You know, when you it's not to do with your fear about the things around you, because it's not going to do anything, but it's when you begin to look at God through His Word, boldly to His face, and look at His Word and say, I can do this. I can do this. And or even if you come to a point and say, man, I don't know if I can't do this, because Moses said that too. My tongue is thick. No, it was Moses that God chose to do the work that he was called to do. And he had to do it. And he did it. And God got the glory for it in the end. Proved him wrong. He could do it. Let's look at just a few, very quickly, some of the failures in the Bible. Ruth was a widow, but God made her a mother. Wonderful story. Esther was a foreigner, but God made her a queen. What a difference. Daniel was a slave, but God made him a prime minister. Hello? David, now get this, one of my favorite characters of all. Joseph probably takes the number one, and Abraham. David was a forgotten shepherd boy. Out in the field, with a stinky little sheep, as a young kid, all by himself. Maybe you're feeling that way today with stinky sheep, out in the field, by yourself. But God made David the king of Israel. Praise God. Through series of events that God had in His plan. Moses had many failures, but God made him a leader. Peter was a fisherman, but God made him a powerful preacher and a soul winner. Praise God. Not fish. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. Remember? The Apostle Paul, of all, and it rhymes, was a murderer. Swallow that one. Anyone here at that point? Don't raise your hands. But God made him a powerful apostle of faith, a church planter. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament. out of his failures. He's going the wrong way. God brought him down, man. And over and over again, life tried to bring him down over and over and over again. But God got him to the place where God had to use him the most. And he did much damage to the devil and his kingdom. And still working today because we're reading the stuff that he wrote that was inspired by his God's Spirit. You see, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. God knows everything about farming. It really goes back to farming because of what we read. Seed. Planting. Harvest. I think I've got a scripture here. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 22. And before I read that, you know, it's God knew you and God knew me before I read that scripture, before we were born. And while we were being formed in our mother's womb when no one could see us and the mom couldn't even feel us, God began to put his seed of greatness. Not just for Tracy, not just for Sue Ellen, not just for Steve, not just for Michael, not just for Austin or Andrew or whoever else is that's in this room. God began to put seed for everybody that was ever born before you were even formed or forming. God began to put seeds of greatness into your life. They're there. They're there. One of the ways that we can see how this works is a woman carries in her natural the egg, but it needs to be fertilized, like in anything in life. Only the man has the seed. But when the seed and the egg come together, there's an explosion of life. We don't hear it, but it takes place. Praise God. That's how things begin. God's a farmer. He knew that man would have seed. He knew that woman would have the egg. He knew that when they came together, bang, life. And it's the same thing whatever we do. God's word is a seed. And God's word, when you take it in, will go into the fertility of your heart and your spirit. Your spirit doesn't have the capacity by itself to create life, does it? Because it needs the seed. The seed comes from God. And when the seed, when you read the word, that's why it's so important. You don't think about it that way next time you read the word. I'm taking God's seed in, God's life into me. I'm becoming not a mother, but I'm becoming pregnant, impregnated with God's word. Seed for action, seed for destiny, seed for greatness. You might need that this morning. So Genesis 22 says this. Sorry, Zoe. While the earth remains, and this is going on even, he said it back then, way back, and he's saying it, and it won't be finished until this earth is done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So we have God's promise even there that there's seed time, because seed takes time, and this harvest will keep on going on. And that's part also of our spiritual makeup, our inner man makeup. God recreated us. He made us brand new in Christ. All things have ashed away. They've passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that's even in force today with what God said. So think on that one. And read the Word of God, what he says about that stuff. So with that in mind, the seeds of greatness God placed in you today, and he's placed in you way back. He can still be placing seeds. He placed a seed in me during this week. He placed seeds in me this morning. He's always, if you're searching for God, you'll always have seed being planted in your life. I want to close with Psalm 46 in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And when it looks like all you have is coming to a crash bang, that's why Paul says, rejoice again, and I say rejoice. Because you were rejoicing before the ash happened. You were rejoicing before the crash happened. And Satan was happy because you crashed. But he's got another note to contend with. There's a new song that God's put in your heart. It's a song of worship. It's a song of victory. It's a song of being more than a conqueror. It's a song that what God started out with you, there you are not, and I am not a failure. I am not a failure. Yes, I've gone through failures, but the failures do not define me, and God says he's with me every moment of every day, all the way. Praise God. Are you happy this morning? Can I say it one more time and give you a smile? Are you happy this morning? Man, okay. Praise God. I know it's hard to sit there and listen for 20 minutes. But praise God. Thank you for the opportunity of preaching God's word to you and what he's going to do in our lives. Amen? Praise God. Have some fellowship, coffee, tea, biscuits, anything baked back there? No.